Welcome to The Right Chamber, the podcast that takes you inside the NHS to explore what really makes a hospital a hospital.
Each episode, we sit down with the people who keep healthcare moving, from doctors, nurses on the front line, to students, the support teams, administrators, corporate staff, and everyone in between. These are the voices that often go unheard, but together they form the heartbeat of our hospitals.
Our aim is simple: to share authentic stories that are accessible to the public, meaningful to NHS staff, and a reminder that healthcare is more than treatments and wards. It's a whole community working together.
So whether you're part of the NHS family or simply curious about the people behind the service, join us as we open the doors to the conversations that matter here in the Right Chamber.
Professor Derek Ward studied medicine at the University of Bristol, qualifying in 1993. Following hospital, general practice, research and public health training posts, he was appointed consultant in communicable disease control in 2005. In 2010, he joined the University of Birmingham as co-director of the NIHR Horizon Scanning Research and Intelligence Centre before becoming senior admissions tutor for the medicine programme in 2020. Applying to medical school can feel overwhelming with so much advice and information out there, but what are admissions teams actually looking for?
In this episode, we're joined by Derek Ward from the University of Birmingham to discuss how students can choose the right medical school, strengthen their application, and avoid some of the most misconceptions along the way.
So whether you're thinking about studying medicine yourself or supporting someone who is, this episode offers practical advice and valuable insight into the admissions process.
So let's get started.
Hi there. Thanks for having me here. So my very grand title is Clinical Professor of Public Health, which means I'm a doctor, but I also work at a university. But the reason I'm coming to chat to you today is one of my roles is the admissions tutor onto our medicine programme at Birmingham.
Medical school is one of those things. It is so popular and getting more and more, you know, competitive to get in. I remember applying to medical school myself, and I actually didn't even think much of what was happening after medical school, because the initial stress was just getting in the first place. Once you're in, it's like, okay, I just have to show up now.
Show up, and then the other stress passes now. Now you have to pass everything in.
But why is that? Why is medical school so popular?
I think it's always been and still a really popular career choice for young people. So I think it is deservedly so, because it offers a great deal of opportunity to work in a profession that is respected by the public, has pretty secure employment. I'm not saying that's perfect, but compared to maybe other university courses, has secure employment. But the actual job itself, I love. I love being a doctor. It's about speaking to people. It's varied. There's intellectual challenges. There's practical elements to the job. Really, within medicine, I think there is a place for most types of people.
This episode is geared towards our medical or prospective medical students.
Sure.
So what should someone look for when they're picking a medical school?
Okay. So I'm talking from the perspective of someone who admits people from school onto a medical program. So there are also programs that admit graduates, which are designed for people who've done a degree already. So obviously those are two different groups of medical school, and you need to decide sort of, you know, what's your circumstance as to which you'll be applying to. But medical schools, we are all similar in many ways, because we are all regulated by the General Medical Council. So they set out what the outcomes from any medical degree should be. So the types of knowledge, the skills, the behaviours, the attitudes that graduates, new doctors should have. So we're all working to the same endpoint. Now, we do it slightly differently, but we're all medical schools are working to the same endpoint. So actually, it may not be so much the different degree, the different university, the academic side of things that you're looking at. It may be other things that are much more important to you, and that's absolutely fine. So I work in Birmingham, so we're in a big city. So if you want a big city environment, that might be somewhere you're thinking about. But equally, you might be looking for a smaller town, somewhere that's maybe out on the coast or in the countryside.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. You may need to think about whether you want to be closer to home or further away, or maybe it doesn't matter too much to you. So geography can be really important. And then there's what I would call student life. And I'm, you know, I'm not the person to ask about student life because it was a long time ago for me. But it, you know, I think you want to try and choose somewhere you think you're going to feel comfortable, where you think, I'm going to be happy and settled here, because you're with us for 5, maybe 6 years. And that's a long time to be studying if you don't feel that you belong somewhere. So some medical schools like ours are very large. We have over 400 new students every year. And so apart from Manchester, we're one of the largest intakes. There are other medical schools which have much smaller intakes, less than 100. And probably they have a more of a, everybody knows each other, more nurturing environment than we do. But then if you go to a very big institution, particularly that's part of a much larger university, you'll find there are a lot of other sorts of opportunities available to you in terms of clubs and societies and facilities. So there's no simple answer to this. If you can, and I know not everybody can, it's great to go to open days and to have a look around. And when you're there, that the most important thing I tell people is to go and talk to students. Because there's always students helping on the doors, doing tours or pointing you in the right direction when you go into buildings. Ask them what they like or don't like about the place they're studying. What's the best bit? And what's the thing that maybe they wish was a bit different? Because I don't think you can listen to someone like myself who teaches, but of course it's the students who are at the other end of that. They're the people who are experiencing things. And if you're not able to travel, a lot of universities will have online events where you can meet students, or they'll have chat facilities where you can ask some of these questions. So there's not an easy answer to that, and I wish I'd able to tell you that, you know, there's a nice easy ranking, and you look at the top and you look at the middle and you look at the bottom. I don't think medicine is like that at all.
So once a student decides, okay, I want this university, now the university itself, how do they pick their students?
Oh, from the other side. Well, so medicine admissions are a little bit different than maybe applying for a science degree course, where it's all about your grades. For medicine, we're interested, of course, in your grades, in your academic achievement so far, and then your potential. So maybe your predicted A levels. But there are a couple of other elements as well. And one of those is an aptitude test, so-called UCAT, University Clinical Aptitude Test. And if you've not heard about that, it's worth having a Google. They have a good website and they explain all about how the test works. So that's something that you take over the summer before you apply, because they give you a score, and that score is used by most universities as part of our decision making on who to interview. So there'll be your grades, all that goes onto the UCAS form, the UCAT, which is an aptitude test, and then depending on the results of those, we will shortlist a group of people for interview. Then there's always an interview step. And at Birmingham and at most places, the interview's not about knowledge. You've already done your tests, you're doing A-levels to test your knowledge. The interview is about other things. It's about your attitudes, your experiences, your ways in which you approach problems, the ways in which you respond to challenges. It's about other things that we think are important to make a success of being a medical student and then ultimately a doctor. Mm. So it's a longer process than for most other types of course, because you apply in the autumn, and the deadline to apply is the 15th of October, which is earlier than most other courses. Then you have to wait, and I know it's a nervous wait, to see if you've been shortlisted for interview, and then you have to go through the stress of the interview as well. So it's a long road, I'm afraid.
It's a road worth it. It's a road worth
well,
it.
Well, I think so. I think so, if it's really what you want to do. I try and emphasize that to people, because if you're thinking about careers, and maybe you, I don't know, maybe you've watched The Pit, because that's nice and current, and I love The Pit, but that is not how most UK doctors work. So yeah, it really isn't. So
very glamorized.
If it's because you've got, you know, a family expectation maybe, or because you love what you see on drama shows about how doctors work, I don't think those are good reasons to choose medicine. But if it's right for you, I think it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, this is where like work experience probably plays a key role, you know, getting some earlier exposure even prior to interview. I suppose also in the making the application, as you said, these applicants tend to be, you know, high flyers, you know, academically. So something needs to be added onto that to make you stand out.
Okay, yeah.
I suppose that goes nicely to my next question, would be, okay, there's a college student right now thinking about application. What are the sort of things, apart from getting their best grades, that they could also be doing to actually know if medicine is right for me and how can I put myself in a good position?
Yeah, okay. So I think there's two bits of that. How do you stand out a little bit? But also, how do you check that you're making the right decision yourself? So if you are able to get into a clinical environment, so that can be a hospital, it can be a general practice, but also it can be other places where there's care given, for instance, in residential and nursing homes. If you're able to see actually some of the reality of working in the health service through one of those routes, I think that's really valuable in helping you make a decision that's right for you. That's, I think, the most important aspect of clinical work experience. When we talk about work experience, we're talking about different things sometimes. Part of it might be just shadowing, you know, following on behind someone, seeing what they do through the day, and that's great. It might be volunteering, and there are volunteering roles, again, particularly in private care homes, more so than the NHS sometimes, where you can interact with patients and residents, and again, just observe what goes on through the day. And there may be volunteering opportunities in NHS settings as well. But equally, I know not everyone can get into that. Sometimes it's dependent on availability. So here in Russell's Hall Hospital, I know you run a work experience program, which is great. But for a lot of people, it's because they have a personal contact. They have an aunt who works in a general practice. They have a dad who's a nurse. Whatever it is, an extra lever. And of course, that means that it's not available to everybody, because in your area, there may not be a hospital program or a GPs that's willing to let you go in. If that's the case, I would suggest if you look on a number of websites, so including our own Applying to Medicine at Birmingham, or particularly something called the Medical Schools Council website. Medical Schools Council is a really useful resource for anyone thinking of applying. There are links to online virtual clinical environments where you can watch consultations, which have been mocked up. You can reflect on those, and they give you advice and guidance on how to reflect on what you've seen as well. So there are other ways of trying to get some impression of what working as a doctor might be like. And there are some shows actually that are much closer to reality. And I think GP Behind Closed Doors is a good example. So several of the practices from South Birmingham have been part of that. And there you see actually the day-to-day life in a general practice surgery. So there are other ways of getting an impression of what it might be like. So all of that is about you helping make your own decision, the right one for you. What we're looking for, and we don't insist on clinical work experience because that just wouldn't be fair to people applying. But I do want to see some engagement with wider society. So beyond your own friend and family network, what else do you do? Do you meet and interact with people that maybe you wouldn't do otherwise. And that can be through sport, you know, playing for a team. It can be through music and drama, if that's your thing. It can be through actually paid employment, because, you know, some people, they need to work. You know, so if they've got a Saturday job and you're interacting with the public, that's all really good experience, because it's showing me that you can engage and work with a whole wide variety of different people.
Which is key.
Yeah. And I mean, ideally, this would be in some sort of role where you're supporting others in some way. And sometimes, so school mentoring programs can be really important. Your school might run a Duke of Edinburgh and you can do volunteering through that. But it might be faith groups, through cadets, through a whole wide range of different organizations. I just want to see that you're getting out of the classroom.
Yeah.
You're interacting with a wide variety of people. You're learning how to talk and interact with people, because so much of medicine and healthcare, full stop, is
communication.
About
communication. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know, you guys will know, but you spend most of your time not doing really clever technical things. You actually spend most of your time talking to patients, talking to your colleagues, interacting and working in teams. That's the sort of core of the role, really.
Say yes. So students decided to get into medical school and they've got an interview. Do courses help? Like all these current medical students offering courses, or, you know, random courses, do those help? Is it worth it?
So I think we have to be clear that there are a lot of advertised programs and there are some that are much more established than others. And I won't sort of reference one or another, because I don't think that's fair. They are commercial operations. You know, they are almost all there because they're there to make money. Okay. And that's okay, you know, people will do that. But you need to be clear about what you're getting from that. So, for instance, I've seen websites that collate lots of information about entry requirements and interview practices and what the UCAT scores will be. All of that information is available on our websites, our individual medical school websites. So while you might, you know, be attracted by the idea that if I'm paying for extra knowledge, you're not paying for extra. What you're paying for really is the homework, is the legwork to going around all these different websites and finding out for yourself. And so I would say to someone in that situation, well, really, if you're not going to put the time into sort of exploring things yourself, is this really the right option for you?
Because I'm sure like universities give you all the information that you require. They're not hiding anything.
No, I mean, I don't like to speak for others, but most universities are very similar. So what we have on our website is information about who's eligible. So what GCSEs are you going to need? What A-levels? You know, so what I would think of as the first step in deciding on a medical school, because it's important that, you know, that minimum information, that minimum threshold, academic threshold, you must make sure you meet those. Don't apply to anywhere where you're not going to meet those minimum thresholds, because you just automatically won't get interviewed. And that would be a great waste of one of your UCAS slots. Have a look. You've got that. What we've also published is the UCAT scores and the GCSEs that people who were interviewed in the last few years got. So I don't know exactly what the threshold will be for our interviews this year, but I can tell you what they were last year and the year before, and I wouldn't hide that, and I know others are the same. So you get an idea of how competitive each medical school might be. We'll tell you about the course, but also on our website we tell you about the different areas that we're going to explore at interview, and we tell you about what we think is the best preparation for interviews. So yes, you could shortcut that if you got on a course but there isn't a special secret knowledge to get in. It is
transparent.
Yeah, I think as far as possible. And I take people back to the Medical School Council website. So they list out, for example, what are the qualities that we're looking for in a new medical student, the sorts of And they give examples of the sorts of questions you might get at interview. So you can start to think about, well, how would I go about answering that? They give you advice on reflecting on the experiences that you've had and how you might show that at interview. So much of it is there. So, I mean, not, you know, lots of people applying, you know, to university in the modern world, in a cost of living sort of situation we're in, do not have spare money to throw away on something. So do your homework first before you decide to do something like that.
We did mention it is very competitive. So whether we like it or not, there will be people who don't quite make it all the way to the end of the process. I suppose, what would your advice be for any such person who does have the passion that I really do want to do this, but I haven't been successful? Should they try again, or what are the options really?
All right. Okay. So, I mean, this is quite a big question because you might find that your application has been unsuccessful at different points in the process. So if you've applied and you've not got interviews, so that's the first step. I think you then have to have a very careful look at the medical schools you're applying to. Check what your GCSEs and your predicted A levels are against what those universities are saying. And also the same for the UCAT score, because it might be that you're applying to universities that don't quite fit your grade profiles and your UCAT. Now, if you have a high UCAT, often that means that, you know, you can apply anywhere. But if it's a little bit off the top, you may need to be a bit more selective about where you're applying. And so look at what the scores have been in previous years. Make sure if I'd applied there last year, would I have got an interview offer? Well, if the answer is definitely not, then it's probably not worth applying to that medical school. So you have to be a bit strategic. So there's absolutely no problem with someone who has a go. It doesn't pan out for them. They need to then focus on getting the best A-level grades they can, because, you know, if they still want to do medicine, and then maybe come back to that the following year. Medicine is a long career. I'm a lot older than you guys. And from my end of the career, spending an extra year maybe working, maybe building up a few funds, maybe getting some experiences is no bad thing before you start out in medical school. I think the harder thing sometimes is for people who have been successful interview, but then they didn't get the grades they'd hoped to get in the summer. That can be, you know, obviously it's really disheartening. It's, you know, it does rather cast a shadow over someone's summer holidays, which is a great shame. But the first thing to say is if there's anything that's impacted on their A-level grades because they were unwell or because there were family issues at the time, please speak to your school, because all the A-level exam boards have an extenuating circumstances policy and approach. And so they may relook at a grade. But then at the end of it, if you've not got the grade you've wanted, you need to think about, if you're still keen to study medicine, shall I resit my A-levels and try and get, you know, reapply, resit my A-levels and see if I can get the grades that I need second time. Now, that will mean redoing the UCAT aptitude test, because if you're going to reapply, you'll need a new score. So it's not, you know, it's not an easy thing to suggest to somebody. But if someone's really keen, that's worth thinking about. Some universities, if they have interviewed you and made you an offer and you haven't got the grades, they won't then make you another offer. So check, as again, check the university small print, so you're not sort of wasting an application. But there are other medical schools. Remember, there are almost 30 medical schools that take school leavers at the moment in the UK. And so look across the full breadth of med schools. It's worth saying, though, that after all of this, if you don't get a place at medical school, there are other routes. And the most obvious one now is graduate entry medicine programs. So you would go and do another science degree, and then you would apply for a graduate entry school, and you do a shortened medicine program. And so that's another route available. It maybe gives you a couple more years to be certain about this is the career you want. it gives you a couple of years because, you know, people who are a little bit older often perform much better at interview. I think that's been my experience. And if any, I mean, at the moment, graduate entry medicine is more competitive than it is for A-level students. But I think that will change over time because there's been a growth in the number of medical school places. Almost all of those are in graduate schools. So it's not all is lost if things don't work out. But that's what I would advise someone. And it's a very difficult, it's a very personal decision because it will often mean another year maybe of either studying for resits or taking a gap year and working, whatever it might be. So it's not a trivial thing. So it could be a big thing. But try and take time to reflect. If there's someone at school you can talk through your options with, please take up that opportunity.
Any myths about medical school that you would like to bust?
It's really difficult because one person's myth is another person's reality, and I don't know what people know. But, you know, I think people have an idea that if they get into medical school, they will be working 24/7 as a medical school, because it's, and maybe you may have a different view, that you're always taking exams and studying and going to lectures and reading. You know, there's time in the week to have a full student life, to join clubs, to go out with friends, to play sport, whatever it is you really love doing, because that's important for you continuing as a rounded person, because medicine's a long journey and you've got a long career ahead of you, and you need to keep doing the things that give you pleasure, get you out meeting people. If it shouldn't be 7 days a week medicine, I think that's one thing I will say on the positive. I think I would worry if a student was studying all weekend and every evening. You know, you've got to do other things.
Yeah.
So although there is more contact time than many other degree programs, and what I mean by that, more time in the lecture hall or more time in private study, it shouldn't be the only thing you do in life. So that's one thing I would say. So I meet people sometimes who are worried about that. They're interested in studying medicine, but they're really worried about how intense the course will be, and I think that's a shame.
Okay. But once you're a student, you do realize that you actually enjoy medical school.
Yeah, so I think they just need to
get there.
Yeah. It's just the getting in. Once you're in, it is a, you know, it's a great experience. You meet people, you know, you're in a role where you're, you know, communicating every day, learning to better communicate, as well as, you know, building your knowledge as well. I mean, one of the key things from our discussions, you know, so far is that it isn't just about the, you know, book knowledge and just, you know, cramming, you know, more and more scientific knowledge and anatomy and physiology, and then neglecting communication, going out there, working in a team, knowing how to support your teammates, knowing how to, you know, explain things in a clear, coherent way, you know, chasing a goal together, working with different people, different groups, you know, as you said, Duke of Edinburgh or sports or music or just having the ability to work with people is so valuable, and rightfully so, you know, because being a doctor, that is going to be the majority of what you do, is being able to communicate, you know, effectively with patients.
The practice of medicine in hospitals is technologically changed enormously since I qualified. And I've no doubt that in 30 years' time, it'll be very different again. And I think the nature of knowledge is changing, how we use knowledge and how we use technology to support that. But I think there's the human element of healthcare, of medicine, of, as you say, explaining complicated things to worried, concerned people. That's going to be a constant. And so, you know, while everything else moves around, it's great if you are, you know, if you're very knowledgeable, if you have technical skills. I think those are increasingly becoming important. But actually, the core humanity is still there.
Final tips, do's, don'ts, let's say two things that you would advise for someone right now in, you know, year 11, thinking about applying. What are two things that you would suggest they do, and what are two pitfalls that they should avoid?
Ah, you put me on the spot. So if you're year 11, you are sort of, obviously you've got to, you know, you're focusing on your exams and everything else. But I think a little bit like we've said already is don't let other things fall by the wayside.
Mm.
Make sure you're still getting out into the world in whatever it is you enjoy doing, and make sure you keep that up, because it's good for you, but also because it will give you a lot more to talk about and reflect on when it comes to interviews, not to put too fine a point on it. And similarly, when you come all the way around to year 13 and you're applying, a lot of schools put a lot of emphasis on personal statements, and that's great. For medicine, they're a bit less important. I think you should think of them as your first step in preparing to interview. So what is it that you think has led you to deciding to apply to medicine? What are the experiences you've had? How have they shaped you? What have you learned from that? That's your time to, often the first time, to put it down in writing and to start to sort of think about the interviews to come. So that's a smaller tip, but certainly something that's important. Pitfalls, very difficult, because medical schools vary a lot. But I think all of us as admissions tutors, we'd say to people, listen to the question you're being asked to interview. There is some people who have, I think, rehearsed answers, things they want to tell me. And often they're not really an answer to the question that you've been asked. And part of the test that we're doing here is actually you're having a conversation with the person opposite. You're not just trying to show off how clever and wonderful you are. We know you've got great grades because that's how you've got to interview. We want to know a bit more about you and what makes you tick. And the other thing, pitfall interview, I think sometimes is people not wanting to appear somehow daft or negative or show any sort of weakness, really, because I want to see about the rounded you. I mean, the fact that someone at that interview is worried about some aspects of being a doctor, like, for instance, breaking bad news, that's, if you're not a little bit worried about that, I think you wouldn't be human, and that's fine, okay? I want to see the whole you at interview, because that gives me confidence that you are a thoughtful, rounded, emotionally mature individual who's going to cope and fly with the course. So that's a roundabout pitfall, really. It's really a positive, but that's, I hope you'll let me off on that one.
That's funny. Thank you so much for your time, Derek. This has been so useful. The students currently applying now who do get to see this episode, offer you guys a word of encouragement. As you can see, it is doable, it is achievable, and there are things that you can start doing now. So thank you all to the listeners who've been staying with us. We will see you at the next episode. Thank you again, Derek.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.